So he's going to come preach the word of God to us. Let's get our Bibles. Come on, Dr. Williams, and let's ask the Lord to speak to our hearts.
Thank you, Pastor. All right. Well, we have our fifth chalk drawing completed for the week. How many like this one the best for the week? Let me see your hands. Okay. Okie doke. How many like my buck back there, the last one? How many like that one the best? Oh, a bunch of wimps, I'll tell you. All right, anyway. I think I like my deer best. I did this because my wife told me to. She said, I'm tired of deer, okay? So she gave me the word, and I said, okay, I will. I'm an obedient, you know, that's what the Bible says, isn't it? Husbands, obey your wives. All right, take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Amos chapter. Amos chapter 4. So good to see new faces in here tonight. I see a few that I understand there's some first-timers in here, and I thank the Lord for each one of you. And I hope that the Lord will bless, and I hope you enjoy the chalk drawing and get convicted under the from the Word. Amen. I mean, that's what a preacher preaches for, is that people, you know, are stirred up by the Word of God. Amos chapter 4, we're going to read one verse. Let's all stand in due reverence to the Word of God. Amos chapter 4 and verse 12. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, and you know who is here and who's who needs this message, and I just pray that you would take it and apply it to the hearts that need be. I pray it might stir us all up, Lord, and realize your mercy and your grace that you've warned us about this awful place called hell. I ask you just to speak to hearts tonight. Bless the chalk drawing. We show it in a little bit. Get honor to yourself in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Now, this verse of Scripture is, of course, directed at Israel. And it's directed at Israel for a reason. The reason was that they just plain backslid on God. That's what it all boils down to. They got to the place where idols were more important than God, and they worshipped idols and high places and so forth. And as a result, God tried to bring them back to himself. In that whole chapter, you see verse after verse after verse where he ends the verse with, and you would not return to me, saith the Lord, until finally he got tired of it. And when he got tired of it, that's when he said, therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God. And while this is directed primarily at Israel, it's an admonition that we, each one of us, ought to take for ourselves. There needs to be a preparation to meet God, no matter who you are. I don't care who you are. You know, some people hate to be warned. They take it as criticism, so they don't like to be warned. Maybe it's because they don't like to be reminded of areas in their life, and they don't want to face the truth. But the reality is that warnings are good. If you have a little faint, dull ache in your jaw, it's good to take care of that because it's probably a cavity that's getting started. And if you take care of it right away, well, it's an easy fix. But if you let it go, well, it just brings more pain until your jaw swells out, and then eventually you lose a tooth out of it. So warnings are good. This past summer, I was going to take the paper garbage out. out back and burn it. And we have a little, you know, we live out in the country, so we can burn whenever we want to. We burned the burnable trash. And so I took this cardboard box we have sitting on the back porch that we just throw our paper in there, and then when it gets full, well, I take it out, burn it. And that's what I did. I grabbed a hold of the box, walked out to the pile, and poured it out on the hash heap there, and took a match and I lit it. And when I saw that the flames had got pretty good, I just grabbed the box and walked in, opened the back door, dropped the box off in the back door on the back porch, and I went out to the garage, my office out in the garage, and a few minutes while phone rang. It was Nan, and she said, "Honey, this fire alarm keeps going off in here," and I get it to where it goes off, but it comes right back on. And she said, I don't know what's going on." Now, she's not mechanically inclined, so it might be something to that. I thought, well, okay, you know, it's probably just some silly thing. And so I went in and I went out to the back door where I dropped the box off, and I opened the door. When I opened the door, if I'd have been standing up in the doorway and opened the door, the flames would have probably singed all my eyelids and everything else off. And there was a pretty good fire going. It went in over my head because I opened the door before I got all the way up the stairs. You know, I pulled like this, and the flames went out up here. And good night, you know, I couldn't believe what I was seeing. So I rushed around the house, and I went in the kitchen and got the fire extinguisher that we have in there. And I opened the door, and the heat was coming in so bad that I couldn't do anything with the fire extinguisher. I thought, well, the water hose. I ran outside and turned the water on, grabbed the water hose, and just cracked the door open, you know, and sprayed and sprayed and sprayed. And finally, over a period of time, I got the fire out. It burned pretty bad. In fact, it had me worried. I was afraid it had gotten into the walls and was going up, you know, through the tubophores, you know, in your wall. I was afraid it had gotten in there, but fortunately it hadn't burned clear through. It did singe and burn part of the wood on the back porch. But I thank God for these fire alarms that we got. They really work. If it hadn't been about two more minutes, we wouldn't even have a house. And I really believe that. It's not evangelistically speaking. I really believe that because of the way that, I mean, it was really, you know, it was really burning good. I said all that just to say this, that I've been preaching the gospel for nearly 40 years now. And there are people that have walked the aisle in my meetings through the years. I don't know how many, have no idea, that are glad, are happy, are rejoicing. Perhaps some of them even in heaven today that are rejoicing because it was someone that cried out a warning about a place called hell. We don't like to hear about it. It's negative and it's nasty and it's wicked and it's awful. And yet it's so important that we understand that there is this place, and it's not a figment of somebody's imagination. It's not a myth that man has come up to keep the crowds in control. It's not that. It's a literal place that God talks about frequently in the Scriptures, talking about how hell has enlarged itself daily. It enlarges itself. People are dying, going to hell daily, and hell has to enlarge itself in order to accommodate them. It's a place where there's flames, a place where there's suffering. It's a place where the soul of man lives for eternity, or should I say, dies for an eternity. It's a place that is just as indescribable to try to put a description on it as bad as it is, as it is to try to describe heaven and how wonderful it is. And I believe just as heaven is a place of absolute joy and bliss and everything wonderful that you could even imagine, I believe hell is the extreme opposite of that, and it's the worst place that you couldn't even, even these horror movies that are coming out today with all the gore and garbage that's in, can't even approach how bad it is in that awful place. So I stand here tonight to warn you, as a gospel minister, as an evangelist, I have a duty to warn you to prepare to meet God. So if you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, listen to the message, let it speak to your heart, and then do what the Scriptures say. It is not Don Williams that just given you my own ideas. I speak from the Word of God. And so I have all the authority that I need here to preach this message. It's God's Word. It's God's Word. And so there's the final authority. That's what the Bible is for. It's to give us a guideline and a final authority that we can go to settle any argument. When it comes to the a question of morals, we go to the Bible. We don't, I think it's all, you know, I don't think it's all that bad. And so, you know, no, uh-uh. We go to the Word of God. That's where we establish the guidelines for morality. So when people come up with all this stuff out of their own mind where things are, where they're saying good is bad and bad is good, something wrong with that. We go to the Bible. We say, what thus saith the Lord? What does he say about this thing? And whatever God says is the final authority, and we just go with that. So once again, I say to you, on the authority of God's Word, prepare to meet God. Prepare to meet God. The reason is this. God's judgment is coming, and it's a reality. And the Bible says that there's a point of the man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. That is a meeting that you didn't, it says it's appointed unto man. I want you didn't make the appointment. See, God made the appointment. You're the one who has gotten the notice, and God's Word says that he's made an appointment for you to meet him face to face one day, and that's a reality. And that meeting is non-negotiable. You can't try to figure it out. You can't, and it's inevitable. It's going to come to pass sometime in the future. I don't know when it's going to be. There's a lot of things, you know, that perhaps old age will finally sneak up on you, and one of these days you'll go out to meet the Lord. Some disease takes you down. You get hit with a car. There's any one of a million ways a person can die. But after you die, understand this, that you're going to face God. Eventually you'll face him, and you'll hear the verdict. And it'll depend whether that's a good meeting or a bad meeting with God. Will depend on what you've done here. Perhaps even in this service. This service may make the difference between heaven and hell in your life. It makes you nervous when strange things happen and you're preaching on hell, doesn't it? Revelation chapter 20, verse 12 says this: I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Books in heaven? Well, that's what it says. It doesn't say computers, it says books. I believe it's probably books, don't you? The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Now, I'm not going to get into the books and all that. But I just want you, reading this verse of Scripture to just point out the fact that this meeting is going to take place somewhere in the future. And it behooves us to make sure that when that meeting takes place, that we are prepared to meet God. Preparation. Preparation. That meeting, I want you to understand, time stands still for no man. I've been amazed how fast these few weeks we've spent up here in the mountains have gone just like that. This week has even been faster. I mean, all at once we're on Thursday night, one more service, and then we'll be heading south. Man, that's a good thought. I never thought of it. Just that word, heading south, that sounds good, doesn't it? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 is the one we quoted, as is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. This is an unavoidable thing. You can't get away with it. You know, I had a strange... Boy, things are happening all over the place here. Wow. Now I forget where I was at. Brother Matthew, you never did that, did you? Never forgot, no. I'll expect you at the altar up here when we have an invitation. I remember when somehow or another, before I got saved, I just figured that I knew what I was. You know, I knew the kind of language I used. I knew the places I went. I knew the habits I had. I knew who I was. But there was something strange about it. And even though I knew what I was, and I knew that God knew what I was, I had this feeling inside that somehow I was going to be able to sneak in to heaven. Now, that I know that sounds stupid. And did anybody else ever have that feeling? That somehow or another you was going to make it, maybe, you know, but you was going to make it one way or, huh? Anybody like that? Few people, anyway. There's just something about it. You know, we never deem ourselves going to hell. We never think about that part of it. We always think, well, somehow or another. I'm talking about before you're saved. Somehow or another, we're going to make it through the pearly gates. We're going to slip in with somebody else, you know, like that. Somehow we're going to turn into a mouse or something slipping in through a crack or something like that. But that's how I felt. But I'm going to tell you, when I heard the Word of God preached and I understood what was waiting for me, I didn't want to take a chance on that. I didn't want to I hope I make it. So many people today are living with the hope that they'll make it. They'll hope that they're not going to go to hell. They'll hope that they're going to go to heaven. But they nothing to base it on. It's just somehow they feel like they're going to slip through the crack. I've got news for you. God has a criteria by which he judges whether you're fit for heaven or for hell. You know what that criteria is? You have to be perfect. Hey, what does that scripture say? There's nothing that defiles, nothing that taints, nothing that is corrupt, no sin, no bad. None of that is going to enter the kingdom of God, huh? If that's true, I mean, you'd have to be perfect then, wouldn't you? That's what Scripture teaches is that perfection is what God's looking for. Prepare to meet God. You say, well, how do I do that? Because I know me. That's the question, isn't it? Well, let's just go on here, and maybe we'll answer that question before we end up here. So we know one thing. The meeting is a reality. It's going to take place. It's inevitable. It's unavoidable. And it's non-negotiable. No way you're going to get out of it. God's going to check the books. And if your name is found in the Lamb's Book of Life, then you make it. And if it's not in there, you don't make it. Prepare to meet God. John chapter 3 and verse 18 is this. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. So the only thing that I see in the Scripture that determines whether we're going to heaven or hell is whether we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not believe about him, but believe on him. That is putting your trust and your faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Second thing is that the reason for the meeting. The reality of the meeting, now the reason for the meeting. What is the purpose of this meeting with God? Well, he's going to make everything right. Do you know there's a lot of people who've got by with stuff here in this world that should have been punished, but they weren't? Murderers that have gotten by with murder and are walking, perhaps even today, walking to face the earth, but they're guilty and they deserve to die. They deserve death. God's going to take care of that. He's going to take men like Hitler and Mussolini and the monsters of the past that we all know about. The ones over there in the Far East, just like the guy in Iran and the various leaders that are just murderers that kill their own people. God's going to take care of that. We're going to see justice carried out, real justice. On this earth, they may get away with it all. Their whole life, they have the biggest homes, they have the most plush mansions, and everything looks like, well, good night, look at the bad guys and how good they have it. But that's not the way it's always going to be. There's going to come that day when they meet God face to face, and then things will be made right. So one thing that God wants this meeting for is so that he can make those things right. But there's another thing. Jesus Christ has never really got his preeminence in this world. He's been spit upon. He's been cursed. He's been everything. But he's never really been lifted up like God wants to lift him up. But there will come a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And that's what's going to take place when we meet God. Psalm 96 and verse 12 says, "Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. And then shall all the trees of the woods rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh. For he cometh to judge the earth, and he shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth." To judge the quick and the dead, to set things right. The second thing is to give the one who is rejected of men his rightful place of preeminence. Philippians 2:10 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of things in heaven, things of the earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. When you look at man's situation, if God had not intervened, if God had not so loved the world, man would have been in a mess. But 2,000 years ago, his son came. The Bible says in the book of Galatians that in the fullness of time, Jesus came. In the fullness, just at the right time in man's history, Jesus came to this earth. And he came for one purpose, to seek and to save that which is lost. But he had to die in order to provide the salvation that we need. Since we have to be perfect to get into heaven, and no man can be perfect because we're all sinners by nature and by choice, God had to do something special. And what he did special was that through the blood of his son, he has made it possible for you and I to stand before him in his own son's righteousness. He has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So the only way that we can stand before God holy and righteous is through his son, Jesus Christ. If you're one of those today that think that you'll be able to work your way to heaven, that your good works is going to outweigh your bad works, and so because of that, God's going to let you in? I got news for you. Not according to the scripture. For it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Some of you may be holding out the fact, well, I'm a member of a church, and my church tells me that since I'm a member of the church, that my church membership will get me to heaven. I'm sorry, but that's not what's going to get you to heaven. Not according to the scriptures. Not one verse of scripture in there that talks about being in the church is going to get you to heaven. To be on the church rolls, there's the need of a spiritual birth, a new creature has to be formed, and, you know, can joining the church make a new creature out of you? Can your good works make a new creature out of you? Can keeping the Ten Commandments make a new creature out of you? No. There's only one that can make a new creature out of you, and that's the Spirit of God. When He born you into the family of God, that's what Jesus was talking about when He was telling Nicodemus. He said, Nicodemus, He said, if you're even to see the kingdom of God, you have to be born again. Nobody wants to talk about born again anymore. I've heard them make fun of, well, you guys, the old farmers, and they think you got to be born again, you know, and they make fun of that new birth, they call it. But I got news for you. It's scriptural. It's in the book here. And it's absolutely necessary if you're even to see the kingdom of God, let alone enter into the kingdom of God, there must be this new birth, and it comes as a result of receiving Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says if we receive Him, as many as received Him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. You see, God knows that there has to be a change. There has to be the lion that has the heart of a lamb. There has to be a new creature involved if you're going to get to heaven. And since we can't do it ourselves, then He takes care of it. I'm so glad that He's the one that takes care of that. I don't have to worry about making myself. How many of you have ever tried to turn over a new leaf? It doesn't work too good very long, does it? But you know, just turning over a new leaf, even if you could keep it turned over, it's still not going to get you to heaven. Because you must be born again. This meeting, whether it turns out to be good or bad for you, turns on that one point. Whether or not you are a new creature in Christ. Whether or not you've been born again by the Spirit of God. Whether or not you know Jesus Christ personally. Not up here, but right down here. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Prepare to meet God. Prepare to meet God. The readiness for the meeting. Revelation chapter 21:27 says this, and there shall in no wise enter in into it any, talking about heaven, anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the only way you can get written in the Lamb's Book of Life is to take the Lamb as your personal Savior. Receive Christ as your Savior. And He got to write it down. He writes it down in an indelible ink. It's probably the blood of Jesus Christ. And He's not going to blot it out. Now the question is, are you prepared? Now the message primarily been to the lost. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ, there's never been a time when you saw yourself lost and on your way to hell and you cried out to God and you said, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner, or something similar. If that's never taken place in your life, then you're lost. You're lost. You're lost. And I say, prepare to meet God. But you know, the Christian today, we've preached to Christians all week long, and I hope that you've been taking the message to heart, you know, and you're preparing yourself to meet God. If you're saved, it's not a question of lost and saved. It's a question of whether you want to greet Him And you want to hear him or have him place his hand on your shoulder and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make you master over many." See, that's the question for the Christian. Whether or not you've pleased him, are you prepared to meet him tonight? If we can have these lights out, I'll show this chalk drawing.